Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture reading tonight comes from the book of Psalms 91. And it reads, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday." Verse 7 reads, "1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and speak punishment of the wicked." Psalms 91, 1 through 8. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we just come to you, dear Father, with thanksgiving in our heart and just praise on our lips, dear Father. And we come to you just thanking you for another day's journey. Just thanking you for your loving word. Thanking you, Jesus, for being with us, that we can come and hide, that you can be our refuge, that you will hide us, dear Father. And even the darkness will have to give light to our situations because of you. We thank you for your precious Son, God. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. We thank you for shedding blood for us, dear Father. Thank you for covering our sins with that blood. And we ask that you look into every household right now, every situation, big and small. Dear Father, we ask you to cover it with your blessings. All parents right now, just extra blessings up on the parents, dear Father, that has kids at home or out of the home. Dear Father, ease their heart from worrying about situations that their kids may be going through. Teach them, dear Father, to train their kids in the way that they would go, to teach them about the Lord, who created them. Where did they come from? They came from you. They're your creation, dear Father, and that you have will, you have plans for their life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you've said and done, everything that you're going to do in our lives, and everything that you're doing right now in our lives. May we decrease as we continue to allow you and invite you to increase in our lives, become mighty and strong in our lives, remove the rivers that we think is impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this is your host, Minister Von Dillman, and we're coming back as we continue our study that we have going on, Comfort for Troubled Christians. At any times that you feel like you've got some troubles in your life, and it's not when, it's, you know, they come often. But it's just it's how we react to those troubles that makes a big difference in our lives. It's how we react. So right now, if you have any mountains that you feel that you cannot tunnel through, it may just be as simple for you as a bad cigarette smoking habit. It may be doing drugs, maybe your habit of choice right now in your life. It could be that you just, what started out just to be just a sociable drink has turned into now it's just almost a need that you feel like you have to have a drink. It could be anything from lying and to stealing or to prostituting yourself or whatever it is that your mountain may be. But the enemy knows your own fears. He knows your own things that hold you down. So those are the things that he's going to keep pressing on to put in front of you, to supply for you, to be that pusher for you. But when you're ready, in your mind, you really want to stop and you don't know which way to go. It becomes troubling for you. You can't find your comfort in that deal. And now you're doing it even though you say you're not going to do it anymore. You're still fornicating. Even though you said you're not going to cheat anymore in that marriage, you still find yourself out there in the bed of another and going back home to your family. And then you start feeling troubled inside, uncomfortable inside. Well, this study is for each and every one of you. Whatever it may be that's your weakness or your vice, this is for you. It's to give you some comfort in those troubled times. It's to find a way to lead you to a way, lead you to a one who has all the answers for you. You got to do something. It's not like sometimes people look at the Word of God and they say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, what did you do? What did you do? You prayed. That means you was doing the talking. But say, well, are you listening? Are you listening to the Word of God? He has something to say to you. But you got to be willing to listen. Listen with your heart. Invite him to come and live inside of you. So you can respond. You can hear his heart. He'll speak to you. You don't know what kind of experience it is to have your spirit connect to the Spirit of God. And he will direct you. He will point you in his way of righteousness. He will give you the answers. He'll touch on your heart when you start to do things that is out of his will. He will bring it to your attention. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Thank you, Jesus, for just being you. So if you have things that you have any rivers that you just think is uncrossable, I'm never going to get away from this man. I'm never going to get out of this situation. God specializes in things that people think that is impossible, that the world says don't make any sense, that the doctors have gave up on you and said that there's nothing else that can be done. I'm telling you, it's nothing else. The world said, you know what, you have to trust in him. He or she has been through doing this, you know, they went to school for this. They know what they're talking about. And it's crazy for you to still be believing in what I'm telling people, I shall survive. You know what? God does the impossible. And it's his will. It's in his will that you be healed, whether on this side or the other side. This your side is just a temporary thing. We're just here visiting. This is not our home. So if we don't get healed on this side, he's healing us for eternity. Hallelujah. So if we don't get healed right here in the way that we think we should, if you don't turn that situation around the way that you thought it should be turned around, the way he's doing, he's looking out of the sight of man for the good of man. So he knows your future. It's the best that he does it his way. He knows the plans that he has for you. And they're not to harm you, but they are to prosper you. All right? Amen. So we have to make sure that we believe God. We got, again, I say believe. And one more time, just for the record, I say we shall believe God. He has something to say to each and every one of you. The question is, are you listening? If you're just doing all the talking, then I know why your prayers are not answered. So that's just like standing to a wall and then telling that wall, you fall down, you fall down, you fall down, and walking away from the wall. You need some tools if you want that wall to fall down. You got to get yourself in a position to make that wall fall down. So when you're trying to climb your mountains or get across your mountains or around your mountains, God made me trying to take you through the mountain, and you're too busy trying to get climbed up the mountain. No, listen. God is talking to you. Acts 27 and 25 is what we was looking at in our last study, just talking about, again, just believing. Paul said, I believe. See, here in we delight in a divine simplicity. It means that I just may not understand it. I do not deserve it. I cannot maybe even explain it. But I still believe it. It's a simple formula. God said it. I believe it. See, that's what faith is. It's a simple formula. God said it, and you have a choice to believe it. Again, you may not understand it. You may figure, like, you know what, as many things as I've done, I don't deserve it. Well, you know, I can't even explain it. It's not even, that's not the way that the world works. I can't even explain it. That wouldn't even be possible. But can you believe anyway outside of that? You know, sometimes we have to wait until it's right inside of our faith, inside of our family, something go wrong, and then we want to have that faith to believe it. But we've got to learn to have that faith for all things. That job that you're talking about, the promotion on that job, not just sitting in that position when God said, I want you to push and go further. You said, but I don't even have the degrees that anybody else has. I don't have this, I don't have that. But if he says go, you got to believe it and go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it was a man that was noted for great faith. A preacher looked him up and asked, are you the man with the great faith? And he said, no. I'm the man with a very little faith in a great God. See, again, the preacher looked him up and said, are you the man with great faith? He put it right back in the hands of his God. He said, no, I'm not the man with great faith, but I'm the man with a very little faith, but I believe in a great God. See, you just have a little faith, enough faith to stand on and say, I don't care what it looks like. Even though this flesh suit that you're in and the enemy keeps trying to push on this flesh suit and tells you, why don't you turn around, girl? You know this ain't going to work. You know this not going to work. And you got to keep on talking, no, but I still got to go on. I still got to go on. I believe. I know God. I believe it. I believe it. I'm still going to go on. I don't care what people say. I don't care what I look crazy. I'm still going on. I got a lot of faith and a great God. God wants us to believe when we cannot see. He wants us to believe when we cannot understand, when we cannot explain it, he still wants us to believe. If we could just see and understand everything, we see the answer right there. Oh, yeah, it's going to pass. I'm going to be successful. I already see it. I look up the street. I already see it. Succession 101 accomplished. If we could just understand the outcome of the situations that we're going through. Oh, yeah, I just got maybe 5 more days of this right here, and you see where I'm going. That's where I'm going to be. Completed. Stress 101. Tribulations, trials. You completed. It's right up the street. Make a right and go straight down. You see it said right there on the left? That's your completion. If you could understand it, if you could see the ending of all of that, then it would not be faith. It would not be faith. See, it's not so much that the amount of faith as the object of your faith that counts. Let me say that again. It is not so much the amount of the faith that you have, but it's the object of the faith that counts. So it's not what you believe, but it's who you believe. Are you hearing me with your spirit right now? See, the sailors that was on the ship with Paul, they were experienced sailors. And they have been through many waves, and they have been through many times on the sea that the winds were high. They were experienced. And the sailors trusted their own ability. The soldiers that was on there, they trusted the sailors. The captain on the ship trusted the pilot. And the pilot trusted his compass. Are you following with me? They all trusted the ship. Now, the ship trusted the anchor. Come on now, you can keep going with me. And the anchor failed. Uh-oh. So Paul had a different type of trust. Paul's trust was in God. Amen? Paul trusted God, and God never failed. It's easy to believe when the waters are smooth, everything was going just like they expected to be. But it takes real faith to trust when the storm comes. To trust when the storm comes. You know, and because of Paul's faith, everyone on that ship, life was spared. It is good. It's good to be in a place of prayer with God. It pays to believe in God. Again, we were speaking on last evening, we brought it to your attention that not only does it pay for you to believe in God, to be in a relationship with God, but for all of the ones that is around you, as it was on the ship. Because it said plainly, the angel said, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul must have prayed for every one of them, because that's what the angel indicated. You've got to believe God. It's who do you believe? We all believe in something. We're all working hard to make somebody believe in you. You ever ran into a person, you know they're lying. But they'll try very hard to make you believe the story. They'll start adding to it if they see that they're losing your attention. They're backbiting even tell their own lie upside down. But look you straight in the eyes. Because they're begging you, believe me. You can believe that when you know it's a lie. So it's who you believe in. Paul trusted God, and God never failed. Hallelujah. The men were building a fire. We're talking about a little bit now as we learned when they actually get to the shore. And the story goes on to tell us that the men were building a fire. Now here comes a deadly snake. The deadly snake came out of the bundle of the sticks and that was they was burning providing the to fear the fire. A deadly snake. Now they went through all of this here on the sea. Now they get to the shore. Can you imagine? Can you see the picture we're painting on this canvas? You know, they're tired, they're worn out. Can you just imagine? But now as they're building a fire and trying to get warm, just their luck. Out of the fire, out of the bundles of wood, here comes this deadly snake. Now, who do you think he's going to attach himself to? Of course, he's going to go for the one who had just belief out here in the sea. Because the enemy's plan was to kill each and every one of them out there at sea. Is that right? Can you believe that? Now, Paul's prayer, because his belief was in God more than it was in the sailors. Paul's belief was in God more than the soldiers. Paul's belief was in God more than the captain, more than the pilot, more than even the ship itself. He had more belief and trust in God than the ship. He trusted God more than the anchor. So when the anchor fell, when the ship fell, when the captain, the soldiers, and the sailors didn't know what to do, Paul's God still came through. So now they're on the shore. The enemy's mad. Can you just see it? So the deadly snake attaches himself onto Paul's hand. Now he's on the hand, and so the natives, you know, they were just certain that it was just sheer doubt. They had saw this many times before. If this snake attaches himself to you, it's no hope. You're dead. But Paul had no fear. Paul had been through enough. Sometimes you can go through enough that you have to shake off all of the terrors and shake off all of the troubles and say, that's enough. It was that's enough. Paul said, I already have been through. I know what I just came through. You think I'm getting ready to die to you? No. He calmly just shook the snake into the fire. The snake providing death to him, he said, you death become unto you. Why was he not afraid? because she believed God. He said, if God brought me through this out on the sea, that same God, that same trust, that same faith, I just used for this situation too. And that's one of the things about the belief in God, the promise in God. They must stay the same. The same God that brought you out of that first situation, when everybody said you wasn't getting out of that, it's the same God that bring you through this here. See, God had a promise. God had promised Paul that he must stand before Caesar. And Paul believed him. So Paul said, well, I can't die right now because God's promise wouldn't be fulfilled. He promised that I would stand before Caesar. So, Caesar, get ready. I'm coming. So, snake, you can't stand in my way. I'm sorry. If it's me or you, you got to die. Here you go. Here's your death. You just presented yourself. See, the worst thing that snake could have done was come out of the bundle of sticks. He should have just hid himself away. But the enemy is a liar. So the enemy will use anything and anybody to convince them, go do this. So the snake thought he was going to win that battle. He said, I'm the deadly snake. I've killed before. Hallelujah. But in the fire, he had to call out himself, you're a liar. You lied to me, Satan. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul believed God. Paul believed God. Acts 27:23 explains a little bit about who am I. Here we have a confession of divine ownership. We talked about the delight in divine simplicity. And it must have sounded strange to those idol worship sailors who owned their gods. You know, they thought, you know, wow, my God owes me. My God has never done this thing to me. They was just like, well, you know, I who I worship, because they were idol worshipers, would never have been able to do this. Who is this God that Paul is believing in? The shipping companies own the vessels. The captain owned the sailors. The government owned the soldiers. And then the soldiers owned the prisoners. But God owned Paul. We have to stop. We have to think. God owns you. God owns you. So you are not your own. You are not your own, but you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19, write that down. But how many times do you hear that all the time? I'm my own person. I do what I want to do. But you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You're standing up. And someone's selling you, you're bought with a price. I would have heard a missionary challenge a church, and she wanted to give. Thinking of her nearest possession, she said, I give my new dress to Jesus. So the pastor explained that God cannot use her gift. Then she offered to give her doll, but again, the pastor explained that God cannot use it. Then she stepped into the offering plate when it was passed and said, I'll give myself to Jesus. See, that's what God wants. Not necessary for you to step into the offering plate, but he's waiting for you to give yourself to him. We would rather throw in $20, $30, $40 into the offering plate because we think that that's okay, God, I'm giving to you, so I know you're going to overlook this fornication that I'm doing. You're going to overlook that I'm out here selling the drugs. You're going to overlook all the bad things that I'm doing because I'm giving a little bit here. You know what? I'm paying for a little bit for these kids to orphans to go to school or to have food. So you're going to forget that all of this abortions out here that I'm promoting. So you're going to turn your head when I come through with all the child pornography. Because remember, God, I gave here and I did this here. And God said, I can't use your gift. I can't use your gift. All I want is for you to give me you. I can use you. You don't have to wait until you clean yourself up. I can use you just as you are right now. I can use you. Because you belong. You and you and you. You belong to him. Are you not glad that you belong to the Lord? Are you not glad that he's the protector over your family as you sleep at night? Are you not glad that he's the one that heals the sick? Are you not glad that he's the one that goes into the courtrooms with you? That's fighting those battles along beside you, giving you your sword to fight with. Aren't you not glad that he's the one that even though your family may turn their back on you, that he still gives you strength when you're weak? Are you not glad that that household that you've been waiting on forever, are you not glad that that same incident that happened did not affect your family? Your person walked out of that car accident. Are you not glad? Then why don't you tell him so? Why don't you take some time and tell him so? Who do you serve? My question is, who do you really serve? Who are you giving your thanksgiving to? Here is demonstrated divine obedience in Acts 27:23. The same one that we just going through. It tells us, it shows us, demonstrates to us divine obedience. This must have sounded strange to the sailors. Their heathen God served them, and they would get them out of the sailor's chest in time of storm, but the vessel served the company, the sailors served the captain served the government, and the prisoner served the soldiers, but Paul served God. There stood by me this night whom I am and whom I serve. See, sometimes we're blind to the opportunities to witness for Christ. But Paul went out of his way to give his bold confession. Paul bore the mark of divine ownership in his body, marks made by the Romans. He had been beaten 3 times. He bore the red angry stars of those stripes, which had been laid on him in the synagogue. He bore the ugly stars left by the cruel stones, which had beaten him down until he was left for dead. No wonder Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were proof as to whom he belonged. They were proof as to whom he served. It calls Paul something to belong to Christ, to serve him. How much has it ever cost you to serve Christ? If you are paying a price, don't complain. Count it all joy. Because he stands by you. He's not a God who will leave you. There stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, Acts 27:23 tells us. Here we see again divine faithfulness. What night? The night of the storm. The night of despair. The night of no hope. How like God to stand by at such a time when there is no hope. God will still stand by you. When you're going through your storm, God will still stand by you. When you're in despair, God will still stand by you. When the sun refuses to shine, God will still stand by you. When the stars refuse to twinkle their brilliant light, God will still stand by you. When the winds blow and the waves pound up against you, God is still in control and he will stand by you. Hallelujah. He who has never been in a storm on the sea of life has never known the sweetness of God's presence. God has promised that he will give his angels charge over you. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee in trouble. And if we suffer, we don't suffer alone. Just when I need Jesus, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most. Does it seem like you've been forsaken? No one understands, or no one cares. Courage, my friend. When all others fail, God will stand by. He stood by Paul, saying, fear not. Fear not. You will make it. All faith, here's a divine deliverance in Acts 27:44. Here the ship finally crashed on the rocks, and when it crashed on the rocks, as the story goes, it broke into pieces. Some people could swim, others got ashore on pieces of the wreckage. And no, the ship had to be broken up before they could get to shore on broken pieces. So God sometimes has to take every human means of deliverance away from us before he can understand, before he can undertake our trials away from us. Because he gave us a means for us, we would take all the credit. See, God promised Paul that all with him would be saved. And all with him was saved. Does God always keep his promise? I don't care if everything's broken up around you and you got to catch a hold to a piece of wood and float ashore to remove all of your hope. Sometimes he has to take every human means of deliverance. He has to take it away so he can undertake and do what it is that he needs to do in your life. Trust God. Even when the ship breaks apart, don't give up. Keep your faith. Commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you right now, as sure as you're living, storms may come, the winds may blow, enemies may attack you from the right or from the left. They may try to surround you. Satan may oppose you. Circumstances may seem impossible. But he has said, I stand by you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You shall never perish. And God doesn't promise an easy life. He's already warned us. He said, in this world, that's where we're at, right? Ye shall have tribulations. See, tribulations cannot overcome us. Trials cannot crush us. Even your enemies cannot destroy you. Sickness cannot defeat you. Temptation cannot cripple you. And all hell cannot destroy you. And you need to stand and tell yourself that. Right in the midst of that storm, tribulations cannot overcome me. My trials cannot crush me. Even you, my enemies, that pretended to be my friends, cannot destroy me. Even the sickness that's trying to destroy my body, you will not defeat me. Temptations is rising against me on every side. You're not going to break me down. Oh, no, no, no. All hell can try to come against me. But I believe. I believe in God. God's ultimate triumph has already been recorded in his unchanging word. He said, all safe at last. It's already been recorded in his word. All safe at last. So in my closing, I remind you to take courage. Look up. Believe God. Thank him for his victory. If you acknowledge that he's your God, that he's brought you through, thank God. Let him know. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Look at your loved ones. Thank God. As you're looking at the news and all the terrible things, instead of getting afraid and turning away, you should be thanking God. look at your situation. It could have been you. And I don't care what it is. You said, I wasn't able to do this or do that. Somebody's always worse off than you. You heard the story about the man who was complaining about the shoes that was given to him. It's not the kind of shoes that he would prefer until he saw a man with no feet. And the man was more happy than him. Until you see the man that has nothing to eat, but they have more joy than you. Until you see the person who's been looking for a job and still can't find one. It's better than you complaining about the one you have. You know, Jesus came for you. He died for you. His reason? It's all because of love. It was love that drove Jesus to the manger. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross. An amazing love that housed God's own desire for family reconciled. We are that family that he wants to reconcile. God is love, and the embodiment of all his divine love is the Son he sent to save you, Jesus Christ. Will you accept God's love today? Will you accept his love today? If you're ready, just pray this prayer now. Open your heart and just let these simple words be your guide. Say these words and believe them in your heart, and you will be born again. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. And I just want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And now I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. 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 Ooh, and if you just prayed that prayer, congratulations, you are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. Now, that lightness that you feel about you right now, you feel like a heavy load has just been lifted off of you. That's the Holy Spirit that you just invited to live inside of you. That's what you're feeling. And he's going to be there continuously the rest of your life. Just continually recognize him. Believe in him. Open your heart to him. Don't harden your heart. It's going to be situations to come to try you. Don't harden your heart. He's there to lift your burdens up off of you. It's very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. Because we as other Christians need to be in prayer for you. We need to be praying with you as the enemy comes to attack you. See, he's always been attacking you, but because you have been submitting to him, you may not have even recognized it. Now that the blinders are coming off of your eyes, it may be a little bit different for you. So you need prayer from those who've been where you're trying to go. We need your prayer. So you continue to pray for me, and I will continue to pray for you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is your host, Minister Von Dimas. I'm signing off for another night. Until tomorrow, God bless you. I love you, but more importantly, God loves you more. If God has done something for you, I challenge you to tell him about it. Talk to the Lord about your thanksgiving and praise and worship. Until tomorrow night, goodbye.